We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on for another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use your promo code BLEAV to receive your bonus. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts.
At the 50, at the 10, at the 5, still going.
Look at him go.
The goal line, bullseye. It's a Buffalo touchdown.
Hello there, my friends. Welcome back to another edition of Bullseye, the UB Bulls football podcast. I'm your host, Kyrie Demos, and today we've got a special guest. We've got left tackle Jake Fuzak of the Buffalo Bulls. How's it going today, Jake?
Going great. You know, going great. What's going on? Sun's out. Well, actually, it's starting to rain now a little bit. I'm drinking stuff. So. But yeah.
Love to hear it. I mean, I'm sure you wouldn't want to be spending your 24th birthday doing anything else.
I'm at my favorite coffee shop talking, you know, past football experience and everything that's going on right now. So it's a good day. It's a good day.
Awesome, man. Awesome. So, you know, just talking about the season, you know, obviously you guys got a huge win on Saturday, being able to, you know, come back against Ohio. And, you know, it was what a wild game it was. And, you know, being down 21-0 in the first, but to be able to end the game on that 17-0 run in the fourth quarter. So, you know, obviously coming in, you guys knew how crucial the game would be. But for you guys to be able to pull the win out, especially just thinking about the start that you guys had, just thoughts on what that performance was like.
No, I mean, you know. The past 2 weeks, we've climbed ourselves out of a hole. You know, like Kent, I feel like we're playing in a way that we've never played before.
Mm-hmm.
Came back down 21. Tipping happened with Ohio. Came back down 21. And so I would like to not have this conversation again about coming out and coming back from being down 21.
Right.
But no, I think that speaks to our team's toughness, and it only goes to show how much trust we have in each other and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I feel really good where we're at. It's just, you know, we got to click. We got to start playing complementary with each other on all phases of the game, from offense to defense, defense special teams, special teams to offense, and so on and so forth. So, you know, I feel like we're there. We just got to, it's just that, you know, that little bit extra effort we got to get. So.
For sure, that's important. But like you mentioned, you know, I think for you guys to be able to show that resolve and to be able to battle back is just as important. You know, obviously it's not ideal having to come back, but for you guys to do so, it just shows that, you know, the type of team that you guys have. So just thinking about the 2021 season overall, you know, you guys have been able to really establish something new under Coach Mo. And for him and his staff, you know, they've really been trying to get their footing with everything. So for you, what has it been like learning under those guys, especially being able to play under Coach Matt Stansfield and James O'Hagan with the line?
No, I mean, you know, coming in with new coaches, it's always you're always a little nervous, you know. I mean, this is the first time that I've experienced like a new position coach. This is the second time I experienced a new position coach, so it wasn't too unfamiliar to me. But like as far as new head coach and, you know, like the face value stuff, but all that stuff is new to me, and so it's nerve wracking, you know. But the amount of effort that these coaches put in, you know, like, it's very selfless. You know, the work they do is very selfless. It's not like, you know, we're trying to get right, you know, so you guys get right and then, you know, we'll get out of here in 3 years. It's not like that, you know. It's they want to nurture the program. They want to keep it on the track that it's heading right now. You know, like Coach Stansfield, I think he's a savant of you know, scheme and run blocking and pass blocking and stuff like that. He's very knowledgeable of the game. And, you know, Jimmy O'Hagan's, you know, experiences and his resume speak for itself, you know. So having that kind of two-headed dragon in the O-line room is amazing. And, you know, with a leader like Coach Mo, you know, you want to play for him, you know. You don't play for him, but you want to, like, go out there and, like, perform, you know, because of him. You know, and that makes you want to play that much better. So I'm really fortunate to have these coaches as my last, you know, college coach.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, just talking about Coach Mo, you know, even when I was there, you know, he was our DB's coach. So to think, you know, he just still continues on that intensity. And I think, players respect, you know, guys who have been in those same shoes, you know, having been a former player himself. And, you know, obviously, like you mentioned with Coach Stansfield, Coach Mo's resume speaks for itself too. So, you know, it's great to see, you know, yes, this is a young staff. This is a staff that is trying to establish some footing, but at the same time too, there are some heavy hitters that are still on the staff and seem to be leading you guys in the right direction.
Definitely. No, I mean, Coach Mo, you know, like him and I have talks at night and just to run through the day, what we can do better and stuff like that. And, you know, you can tell the guy knows what he's doing. And have a guy that's as relatable as he is, you know, like there's no reason we can't accomplish everything we need to, and he can't accomplish everything that he needs to.
For sure. And you talked a little bit about, you know, just the type of dynamic you have with Coach Mo, and especially you being one of the co-captains on the team and just the status you have on the team as a sixth year player. For you, you know, what has the process been like to become a leader, you know, now here in your sixth year? Obviously, you know, I'm sure when you first signed up to play college football, I'm sure you didn't expect to be playing, you know, a sixth season.
No, definitely not. You know, I think that in life, every time, you know, you expect something to happen, it never happens, and everything you don't expect to happen typically happens. I think it's Murphy's Law. Is that what that is?
Yeah, I think that, yeah.
You know, yeah, it's, you know, so I'm, you know, I make up my life as it goes along, you know, mm-hmm. I just kind of ride the waves, you know, and steer the ship the best way I know how. So coming back and, you know, having so much experience, you know, like I was saying this earlier, but like this morning I realized that I played with 10 different ages of people, right? So I played with people who were born in 1992, and I played with people who were born in 2002, you know, and that's just, it gives me so much perspective on how to talk to people, what to say to them, what works for them, what doesn't, you know. And as a leader, you know, like I hope that, you know, a kid that looks at me and, like, you know, I hope he doesn't see the, you know, like the all Mac tackle, or, you know, like, I hope he sees someone that, you know, will, you know, crawl through the mud with him and for him, so he can succeed. You know, I hope he sees someone that, you know, if anything, has experienced, you know, almost everything you can experience on a college football team, you know, the highest of highs and the lowest of lows, you know, you know, I just hope they understand that, you know, I there's nothing that we can do that I haven't already experienced, you know, so.
For sure. Yeah, just let's go through that. You know, you talked about the highs and lows. You know, you come in, highly touted high school prospect, you know, being able to come right from Williamsville South, you know, so not too far down the road. So for you, you know, you got to sit really and learn. And, you know, for those of you out there who don't know, Jake actually came in as a defensive lineman. So for you to come in as a defensive lineman, sit and learn and things like that, you know, what was that process like here in your early UB days?
I mean, you know, if whatever you want to do with your life, you have to, like, just, you're going to take turns that you don't expect, and you got to make the most of them, you know. Mm-hmm. I have friends and people on the team who, you know, were willing to go the extra mile for me and teach me how to do stuff. Jimmy O'Hagan being one of those people, you know. You know, I even learned from my peers, you know, like Jack Plank. You know, like he knew the playbook with the back of his hand, I think, like the first month we were here, you know. And, you know, when I made the transition from O-line to D-line, you know, talking with him, learning from him, is, you know, like what he's done for me as a friend is, you know, I can't really put into words, you know. And so he's, Just stuff like that. You know, it kind of goes without saying how grateful I am to have been around some of the friends that I have been. But for the most part, you know, they just, you know, they do what people should. And that sounds kind of selfish, but like if somebody needs help, you should help them. You know, I live my life by the same way.
Yeah, you got to help those who help you. You know, you got to take care of those who take care of you. So that's something that anybody in any facet of life should be able to apply to their, you know, as a mentality of theirs. So just talking about, you know, for you, you made that switch to the offensive line going into the 2018 season. So, you know, did you play any offensive line at all in high school?
Sorry, I think I hit the space bar by accident.
No worries.
I did. I played O-line longer than I played D-line.
Gotcha.
And I was offered by ODU in West Point and UConn to actually play O-line. But UV wanted me as D-tackle. And I didn't pick UV because of that. I just picked UV because I felt it was the best fit for me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really care what I wanted to play. You know, defense is a little more fun, but offense is a little it fits me more. You know,
gotcha.
And so yeah, no, I think I'm happy with how it turned out, obviously, but I definitely my experience in high school with Coach Krasanski, what I learned from him and his staff is just about everything you would need to know before you go to college.
For sure. Yeah. You know, I actually wanted to ask you about that, you know, before we get any deeper into your UB tenure, because it's nice that, you know, you've played so much on the back end of your career. We definitely can get to it then. So for you to have the experience you did in high school, you know, for your starter and like you mentioned, Coach K, you know, shout out to Coach K. He was my all-star game coach. So, you know, definitely have a lot of love for that man. So, you know, for you, you know, what was it like to be able to have the experiences that you did? You know, South is definitely one of the better Class A programs in all of Western New York. So what was that experience like for you, especially being able to win the Trench Trophy and, you know, just being able to set yourself up to stay right here at home going to UB?
Yeah, you know, Coach K, he's the type of guy that I'll go over to his house on Christmas Eve and talk with him and stuff. Like, that's the type of man he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's a mentor. He's a father figure to me. He's someone that will, you know, not only go the extra mile, but go maybe another 10 for you. You know, just someone that I'm incredibly grateful to have in my life, you know. And in South, yeah, my parents actually met at Wounds of South.
Nice.
So when I went there, you know, I didn't really think like, oh, I'm destined to go to the school. It's kind of, we live in the area, so it was like, all right, you know, I guess, you know, I'll go to South.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, South is a special place in my heart, and playing for somebody like Coach Krasanski, who is, you know, I would say one of the more legendary coaches in Section 6 football.
No,
the Trench Trophy, you know, like, it's great and all, you know, but I needed, you know, coaching to get there, and they did everything they could to get me. Give me ready for that and the next
level. For sure. Now, you obviously have made your way here at UB, and you touched briefly on some of the schools that you were talking with, but, you know, what were some of the other schools that you were considering after graduation?
Sure. So I my dream school is Northwestern. So had they given me a walk-on opportunity or a scholarship offer, I would have definitely went there at the time.
Yeah.
Right, I was choosing between really ODU, UB, and UConn. ODU is really it was a cool school, like right in Virginia. You know, UConn, and West Point too. And I didn't really military life didn't really call me, I was gonna go to UConn, and then I went there, and I didn't really feel too good about it anymore. You know, I felt uncomfortable. You know, and then when I was at the official visit with UB, talking to coaches and, you know, friends whom I now call family, you know, it definitely felt like the best fit. And that's why I stayed there. You know?
Most definitely. Yeah, it's honestly ironic that, you know, all those schools that you were considering, and those have all been UB opponents over the last decade. So it's pretty cool to be on the other side of things with that.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah, I made the right choice.
For sure. I agree. So, you know, fast forwarding, then obviously your first couple of years, you're really still finding your way in the program. You know, then you move from D-line to O-line. Then 2019 comes around. You're able to, you know, get into the lineup some. And then 2020 really was when you started to break things out. So for you, you know, what was it like to be able to just continue trusting that process? You know, I know a lot of kids, I mean, I'm an example of it myself. You know, I transferred after my freshman season at UB. You know, a lot of kids aren't willing to continue to chop the wood if, you know, they're not getting the playing time that they want right away and things like that. So for you, what was it like to be able to keep grinding and keep pushing until you made your way?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, I think you should transfer. There's two reasons you should leave a school. It's mm-hmm. just my own opinion. You mm-hmm. know, I think that if you know you're never going to play there, you know, mm-hmm. like if you have Chase Young and, you know, like Ezekiel Elliott, Khalil Mack in front of you, you right. know, like get out. I mean, we, you know, like, you know, so I think there's that sense of like realism involved with it. And, you know, and then I think that's what the portal's there for, is for right. people that want a better opportunity. You know, but and then the other reason is I feel like if you're someone that is struggling mentally to being away from home, or maybe not in love with football as much as you thought you were, or you just mm-hmm. don't feel like you're healthy from a mental standpoint, I think you should leave. You know, I think you should find a place that makes you happy and safe and comfortable, you know. But I think that, you know, nowadays the portal kind of makes everybody like, wonder, you know, it's like, oh, what if, you know, like, what if I did this? Maybe like if you like a girl a lot, you know, and you start dating her, you don't think about other girls, you know what I'm
right.
saying? And if you did, then you chose the wrong girl to begin with, you know?
Right.
You know, so I think that there's something to be said about a guy. I look at Jack Clank, right? He was a walk-on, wasn't promised anything, you know, stayed the course, worked hard, got put on scholarship about a year and a half ago, and is now, I would say, one of the better guards in the MAC. You know, like you don't need to, you know, like you have to make, like, because sometimes there's like a coach. I mean, I've never considered transferring, so it's like I can't really tell you how that works and stuff, but like,
yeah,
if you're playing really, really well and the coaches just won't play you because there's other people playing really, really well, right? They'll probably have a conversation with you like, hey, listen, you know, like we have a ton of guys in this position that can play, you can play here. But you know, if you want to leave that, we can help you out with that, you know? And you know, Coach Mo, I think he's handled that situation really well, because I think that he's been like, you know, if you want to leave, you know, like don't stick around. We're not going to beg you to stay if you yeah. played so much for us last season, you know,
right.
Like just leave, you know, we'll bring in people that need to be here, you know? You know, so I think that what comes along with, you know, transferring and like wanting to transfer and stuff like that, like the transfers we've gotten this season have been, you know, lights out for us. You know, I think
right.
Josh Rogers, I think, you know, like Damien, I think
Jamarcus.
Know, Folsom, Jamarcus, you know, I mean, the list goes on and on, you know, like, and they're stepping up in a big way. And I think we're meshing really quickly too with those people. You know, like, and they know like, they have my trust and they know who to bring in, you know? And so, I just feel like, you know, it's a man's world, you know, and if you, like you feel like you have better opportunities somewhere else, then I think you should pursue that, you know, but it's, you know, we'll win with the people we have, you know.
For sure. So for you, you know, you got to be a part of the, you know, historic 2020 team, and we're an integral part of that team. And, you know, obviously the heights that you guys reached as a program, you know, were tremendous, but, you know, just obviously getting to the season was a mess. You know, you talk about things ending with spring ball, prematurely. And then, you know, there was a point where the MAC conference was like, we're not even going to play games this fall. So to be able to have the 2020 season that you guys did and being able to, you know, make another run with a berth into the conference title game and winning another bowl game, you know, just what was that entire process like for you?
No, I think, you know, like my closest friends, my years there stayed, you know, we all knew how good we were, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at the end of the day, like we didn't win, you know, like, mm-hmm. And I mean, you had to think, cause you had to be like, why? We had all the talent we could ever want, mm-hmm. you know? And I honestly don't have an answer for that. Cause I feel good. Like it was a good season, but like, mm-hmm. the, you know, like, you know what MJ said, or forget who said it. It doesn't mean anything without a ring. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, like, you know, I'm happy we got Jarrett, or Jarrett got himself in that position. Mm-hmm. To, you know, play the next level. I'm happy Malcolm is, you know, like did enough to warrant a pretty high draft pick, you know.
Yeah.
Happy for Coyote, you know, who landed himself on a practice squad, you know, like Tone's bouncing around team to team. We did enough for those guys for me to feel happy, but you know, at the end of the day, like we didn't get it done, you know. And so we have to really think and kind of buy into what we feel like is championship culture, because we don't know what that is yet. You know, and so I do think Coach Mo has a championship mindset, and I'm eager to see where that takes us.
For sure. Yeah. No, I appreciate the frankness on it, because, you know, there were a lot of highs. I mean, finishing as a top 25 team and, you know, being able to finish the regular season undefeated, like I mentioned, you know, back-to-back bowl wins. But like you said, too, at the end of the day, too, you know, you guys were favored going into the MAC title game. So, you know, it was that much more disappointing just knowing that you guys had the talent, you guys had the group. It looked like that was going to be the team that everybody, you know, looks back on as like, man, that 2020 UB team. So I appreciate, you know, the honesty on your feelings about that situation.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you know, you mentioned him already, you know, Jarrett Patterson, obviously, you know, phenomenal player for the Bulls in his tenure, but you know, everybody knows about the 400-yard game and the 8 touchdowns and everything. And you know, it's funny, people forget that, I mean, the guy had 300 yards the week before too. But you know, just the simple fact that you guys as a unit were, I mean, will forever be etched in history because of that performance with him. You know, what was it like for you all on that day, but also too for you and the rest of the O-line to be able to, you know, produce the way you guys did for Jarrett and Kevin and, you know, the rest of the guys on offense as well?
Yeah, no, I mean, we played well, you know, but I mean, at the end of the day, like we still made mistakes, you know, we still could have done plays better, mm-hmm. you know. But what happens when you have a run game like that is that if I miss a block, right, mm-hmm. Clank knows how to pick it up, you know. Mm-hmm. If Jarrett misses a cut, you know, like Gall knew how to pull and, you know, get a guy in a position where he can, you know, like he can make the cut, you know. Like we knew what we needed to do to get Jarrett, to get myself, to get Coyote in a position to win, and how to counteract any sort of like difficulties we may be faced with. But so I, you know, like we played well, you know, but I do think that there was definitely some times where there was frustration, confusion, you know. And I think that you know, we were just a tight group, you know. We weren't anything special. We weren't like some insanely massive team with crazy, you know, like pro day numbers and stuff. You know, we were just dudes that just played with each other and knew how to play with each other, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's almost like, you know, I mean, shoot. So what I'm hearing is you guys could have had, you know, well over 400. You guys could have been churning up 500-600 if you guys were able to cut some of those mistakes down. Essentially.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, like just the way they were playing their defense that day.
Mm-hmm.
We just knew how to run against it, you know? And so, there's a couple blocks, like a couple outside zone plays where, you know, Jarrett missed a cut or Kevin missed a cut or, you know, whatever. We could have easily got more, if I'm being honest.
For sure. Now, you know, just fast forwarding to this year, you know, you guys obviously being able to get the win that you guys did Saturday against Ohio, you know, put you guys in a good position moving forward. And, you know, just looking ahead to the Akron matchup, you know, just what are your thoughts there with the Zips on the schedule?
I would say this. It's like, you know, the way the MAC is structured this year, right? Mm-hmm. You could be 7-0 right now and play a bad game and get your freaking teeth knocked in. You know, lose by 20, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think the MAC, especially this year, it's how disciplined can we be at any given time. So if we execute properly, I don't believe that there's a team that can play up to our speed. But if we don't execute and we don't play together, you know, we can get blown out just as easily, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's the trick. You know, I think we have to go into Akron knowing what to do, trusting in the scheme, trusting in one another. And then I think that, you know, we'll be in a position to win.
No doubt. Yeah. You know, and I'm glad you mentioned that because, you know, I personally think, like, you know, everybody looks at the schedule. Oh man, Akron, they're 2-4, whatever the case is, right? And people just automatically assume, or 2-5, I believe. They automatically assume, oh, okay, well, UB should roll. But like you mentioned, you know, everybody's got to be able to still execute. You know, you can have as much talent as you want to in the world, but at the end of the day, if you guys aren't clicking on all cylinders, you know, a team that you should quote unquote beat up on, you know, can get you any day of the week. And like you said, MAC conference. So, just before I get you out of here, just want to ask you some quick hitter questions.
Sure.
First one is, you know, who would you say is your favorite all-time UB teammate?
Chris Ford.
Really? You know what's funny? I played with Chris. He was in my recruiting class. So you guys' personalities are very similar. So I could see that.
He was something of a big brother to me. He got me through some tough times. You know, he was a mentor. He was a good example of how to be at sometimes. He was a good example of how not to be sometimes. And, you know, he that's the best thing I can describe it as. He was a big brother. You know, like he was someone that, you know, that I still text for almost weekly, you know. You know, I don't see him enough anymore, but definitely Chris.
Yeah, shout out to Not Locks. So, you know, just next question is, you know, would you rather have a game winning pancake block, or would you rather have a game winning pass block on a, you know, 35-40 yard touchdown pass?
Yeah. I'd say pass block.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, and the reason why is because O-linemen, we're not supposed to get notoriety. We're not supposed to get our highlights on any sort of ESPN reel. And if I hit somebody really hard and, you know, Duff or runs for 20 into the end zone, you know, it's too much. That's too much glam for me. It's too much, you know, limelight. Giving Kyle. You know, getting a really good outside hand and then hunkering down and getting my hands tight on a DN who's trying to, you know, rip Kyle's face off and then have Kyle throw a 40-yard bomb for a touchdown is just as satisfying.
I personally agree. I know a lot of others in the O-line community might not, but as a former O-lineman, I second that. You know, pass blocking is the way to go for sure.
Yeah.
Now, for you, you know, another question I wanted to ask is you know, just for you to be able to get to this point in your career, you know, is there a specific pregame tradition, ritual that you stick with each week?
Yeah, no. So I have two things I would say that stick out in my head.
Okay.
You ever seen the movie Gladiator when he rubs dirt on his hands before
every battle?
Yeah. So every game since I saw the movie, right, whether it was playing hockey or whatever, I always did that. I always would grab turf or dirt or ice or whatever and just kind of rub it in my hands. And that just kind of let me know, like, you know, like just kind of get my hands dirty. That's how I grew up, you know, just get my hands dirty and stuff. So There's that. And then I believe that if I get too hyped up or too much in a psychotic state,
yeah,
I make mistakes. I play out of character. I'm the type of guy that needs to be level headed and, calm when I enter, when I enter a storm or a battle or anything. So I always try to think of my mom and just kind of, my parents and stuff, and listen to kind of soothing, kind of like lo-fi music, just to kind of like get me locked in, get me to stay where I can execute properly.
Gotcha. And, like you mentioned, that lo-fi music, is there a go-to song or artist that you need to listen to pregame?
Yeah, no. So I'm big into anime. And so I have like a ton of anime soundtracks that I listen to before the game. But as soon as I go out there, I typically like listen to like One Piece lo-fi. So it's kind of like really soothing, like almost like cafe music, right? But mm-hmm. it just because I think that if like I can go out there and dry block, put anybody in the ground, but if I play out a technique and miss my assignment because I'm trying to rip somebody's face off, like nobody's winning there, and so I try to keep as level-headed and calm as possible, and have fun, have fun with it.
For sure. I like that. Shout out to all the anime fans out there. And, last but not least, big 2-4 today. What's the big plans for your birthday?
I think I'm going to go work out. I might get a pizza.
Nice.
I think birthday's more for my mom and my dad, I'm happy to be around, what I'm saying?
Right, of course.
But, I'm just spending time with them, I guess.
For sure. No, I totally agree with that. I just turned 26 last week, so I can attest to that. I worked on my birthday, and my mom was like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm going to the gym after work. Tip day in the life of, being a grown-up now, celebrating birthday. So.
Yep.
Alrighty, Jake. Well, it's been a pleasure, my friend, and it's been a pleasure to watch you over the years. And, especially, for those of you who don't know, I actually got to do a story with Jake a few years back, just chronicling his, he had a health condition that was really found, in a pretty unique circumstance. And, someone who means a lot to me, who was a part of my recruiting class with Solomon Jackson. So to be able to see a former teammate of mine lose his life in the program, to seeing someone like yourself who, had an opportunity to play in the program, given to you because of something that was early detected. I really, just thank God that he provided that opportunity for you. So,
So like Solo, I knew Solo very, he was one of my hosts for officials and stuff. And his father still knows. I don't talk to him or call him, but every time he's here, he knows who I am.
Yeah.
He would always, whenever I would be watching workouts or practice, whatever, just kind of waiting to find out what's going on. I would always just kind of like walk by his locker and kind of give him a nod and stuff. And, thankfully, I would say that because of what happened to him, I'm able to be in this position right now. If I could trade, we all would rather him around, but, I'm grateful that, that happened.
Yeah, most definitely. Oftentimes, the good in this world comes out of, tragic situations. So, being able to take advantage of that, I'm just so happy that you got that chance. So,
thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. You're very welcome. Alrighty. So, for Jake Fuzak, this is Kyrie Demos. And to let you all know, this episode was brought to you by Bet Online, your favorite online sports book. This is Kyrie Demos signing off from Bullseye. Take care, my friends, and horns up. Yes, sir. We'll be right back.
da, da, da.